Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Shabbat Perek Lamed. In this last perek of Hilchot Shabbat, the Rambam discusses two concepts whose origin is in Navi, and which play a critical role in how we relate to Shabbat and establish the character of the day. Halacha Aleph, Arba'a Dvarim Nemru B'Shabbat, Shnaim Batorah Ushnaim Midivrei Sofrim, V'hein Meforashim Al Yidei HaNeviim, Shabbat Torah, Zachor V'Shamor, V'shnin Parshu Al Yidei HaNeviim, Kibud V'inug, Shneamar V'karata LaShabbat Oneg L'Kdosh Hashem Mechubad. There are four central concepts of Shabbat, two which have their source in Torah, and two which were developed by Chazal based on words of the Neviim. The two in the Torah are Zachor and Shamor. The first refers to the mitzvot of Kiddush and Havdalah, as we saw in the last perek, and the second refers to the Iser Melacha of Shabbat. The two from Navi are the concepts of Kavod and Oneg, literally translated as honor and pleasure, rooted in the Pasuk in Yeshayahu of V'karata LaShabbat Oneg L'Kdosh Hashem Mechubad. This is the same long Pasuk in which there appears the phrase Mimtso Cheftzecha V'daber Davar, which formed the basis of the Shabbat restrictions which we learned in Perek Chaf Dalet. In broad terms, we can characterize each of these concepts, following the Gra, as follows. Kvod Shabbat refers to activities done in advance of Shabbat, or possibly activities abstained from in advance of Shabbat, in order to show honor to the coming day. Oneg Shabbat refers to things we do on Shabbat itself in order to make it a day of physical pleasure and not only of resting from work. The next five halachot discuss the concept of Kvod Shabbat. Halacha Bet, Eizehu Kibud. Ze she'amru chachamim she'mitzvah al adam lirchots panav yadav ve'raglav bechamin be'erev Shabbat mipnei kvod haShabbat u'mitatef b'tzitzit v'yoshev b'chovod rosh mi'achel la'hakbalat pnei haShabbat kemo shu yotze likrat haMelech. V'chachamim harishonim hayu mekabtzin talmidehen be'erev Shabbat u'mitatfim v'omrim bo'u v'netze likrat Shabbat haMelech. What is Kavod Shabbat? This includes the obligation to bathe in hot water before Shabbat. The Rambam mentions only washing one's face, hands, and feet, but the Rama rules that ideally one must wash his entire body. Before Shabbat, he should sit wrapped in tzitzit, awaiting the arrival of Shabbat as he would go out to greet a king. The early sages, the Chachamim Rishonim, would gather their students before Shabbat and say, "Let us go together to greet the arrival of Shabbat, the king." In our Girsa of the Gemara, which recounts this practice, Shabbat is referred to as a queen rather than as a king. The now universal custom to say Kabbalat Shabbat, a collection of mizmorim from Tehillim, followed by the poem of Lecha Dodi, originated among Kabbalists of the 16th century, based on this practice of the Chachamim HaRishonim, and it spread within about 100 years across the entire Jewish world. Halacha Gimel, Umikibud haShabbat shilbash kesut nikiya, v'lo yeh malbush hachol kemalbush haShabbat, v'im ein lo lahachlif, meshalshel talito kedei shlo yeh malbusho kemalbush hachol, v'ezra tikein shiyu ha'am mechabesin b'chamishi mipnei kvod haShabbat. Part of Kvod Shabbat is to wear clean clothing, and these should be different garments from what he wears during the week. If one has no other garments, he should let down his cloak, which is usually worn folded up during the week, so that the bottom not get dirty as he works, in order to distinguish his Shabbat attire from his weekday clothing. Ezra HaSofer established that everyone should launder his clothes on Thursday in order to have clean clothes for Shabbat. Halacha Dalet. V'asur likboa seuda u'mishteh be'erev Shabbat, mipnei kvod haShabbat, u'mutar lechov lishtot ad shetechshach, v'af al pichein mikibud haShabbat shimana ha'adam min ha'mincha v'mala milikboa seuda, kidei shikanes laShabbat kishu mit'aveh le'echol. It is forbidden, because of kvod Shabbat, to have a meal or a party, mishteh, on erev Shabbat. It is permitted to eat and drink all day, but nonetheless, based on Kvod Shabbat, one should not eat a meal from the time of Mincha and onwards, in order to enter Shabbat with an appetite. The two parts of this halacha seem to contradict each other. The first line says that one shouldn't have a meal all day on Friday, while the second limits this to the last part of the day, from Mincha onwards. The Magen Mishnah explains that each of these lines has a different source in the Gemara, and they refer to two different kinds of meals. The second part of the halacha refers to the normal meal one eats during the day. he may eat this on Friday anytime before the time of Mincha, meaning the end of the ninth halachic hour, which is half an hour before Mincha Ketana. The first line of the halacha refers to a large meal of the type one doesn't typically eat. This should be avoided all day on Erev Shabbat. There are, of course, situations where one must make a special meal on a Friday, the most common examples being a Brit Milah or Pidyon HaBen, and when Purim comes out on Friday. In these cases, the Mishnah Berurah writes that one should have the meal during the morning, in accordance with the opinion of the Ravid in a Hasag on this halacha, that the entire prohibition of having a meal on Friday only begins at Chatzot, midday. Halacha Hey. Masdir adam shulchano be'erev Shabbat va'af al pi she'no tzarich ela lechazayit. V'chein masdir shulchano b'motzei Shabbat af al pi she'no tzarich ela lechazayit. Kedei lechabdo b'chnisato v'tziato. V'tzarich l'takein beito mi'ba'od yom l'chvod ha'Shabbat. V'ye ner dolek v'shulchan aruch u'mita mutzat shekol elu l'chvod Shabbat hein. One should set his table on Erev Shabbat as it is typically set for a full meal, even if he will eat very little at his Shabbat meal that evening. He should similarly set his table on Motzei Shabbat, even if he plans to eat only a little, as this is a way to honor Shabbat both when it starts and when it ends. Other elements of the home atmosphere which contribute to Kavod Shabbat include a nicely made bed and a lit candle. Recall that we made reference to this halacha back in Perek Hey regarding the obligation to light Nerot Shabbat. There, the Rambam included this obligation within the general concept of Oneg Shabbat, and here he explains that the Nerot contribute to Kavod Shabbat as well. That is, having a lit candle both allows one to avoid the physical discomfort of stumbling in the dark, Oneg Shabbat, and contributes to the solemn and exalted nature of the day, Kavod Shabbat. The Rambam alludes in this halacha to the idea that one shows honor to Shabbat by eating a meal after Shabbat ends. This meal is called Malava Malka, accompanying the Shabbat queen as she leaves. Acharonim write that one should ideally eat bread at this meal, but at the very least some mezonot or fruit. Singing Zmirot and Piyutim after Havdalah, like Hamavdil Bein Kodesh L'Chol, Eliyahu Anavi, and Al Tira Avdi Yaakov, represents another way in which Kavod Shabbat can and should be expressed after Shabbat has ended. Halacha Vav. Af al pi she'e adam chashuv biyoter, ve'ein darko likach dvarim min hashuk, v'lo litasek bamlachot shebabayit, chayav lasot dvarim shehen letzorach ha-Shabbat begufo, shezehu kvodo. Chachamim harishonim, mehen mi shehaya mefatzel ha'itzim levashel behen, umehen mi shehaya mevashel o moleach basar, o godel petilot, o madlik nerot, umehen mi shehaya yotze vekone dvarim shu tzarich l'shabbat mimachal umashke af al pi she'en darko bechach. V'chol hamarbed bedavar ze, harei ze meshubach. Even someone who isn't accustomed to go buy food in the market or do chores in the house must himself get involved in these activities in preparation for Shabbat, as this too is a form of Kavod Shabbat. Among the early sages, there were those who would chop wood to use for cooking, who would salt the meat and cook the food, who would braid the wicks to light before Shabbat, and who would run errands to buy necessary items, even though it was not their usual manner to do any of these activities. The more one does of this, the more praiseworthy he is. This concludes the discussion of Kavod Shabbat, and most of the remainder of the perek is devoted to explaining and elaborating upon the concept of Oneg Shabbat. Halacha Zayin. Eizehu Inug. Ze shamru chachamim shetzarich litaken tavshil shamein biyoter umashkem mevusam leShabbat. Hakol lefi mamono shel adam. V'chol hamarbe bahotzaat Shabbat uvitikun ma'achalim rabim v'tovim, harei ze meshubach. V'im ein yado maseget, afilu asa shelek v'chayotze bo mishum kavod ha-Shabbat, harei ze inug Shabbat. V'eino chayav lehatzer la'atzmo v'lishol me'acherim kedei la'arbot ma'achal Shabbat. Amru chachamim arishonim, asei Shabbatcha kachol v'al titztarich labriot. One fulfills Oneg Shabbat by purchasing and preparing especially high-quality food and drink for Shabbat. Here too, as in the last halacha, the more money and time one spends on these preparations, the more praiseworthy he is. If he has limited means and cannot afford more than a little food, this too qualifies as Oneg Shabbat if he buys and prepares the food especially for Shabbat. one does not need to go beyond his means, and certainly should not ask others for money in order to buy special food for Shabbat. This is the statement of Chazal, Aseh Shabbatcha Chol Va'al Titzarech Labriot. If need be, make your Shabbat the equivalent of a weekday, meaning eat only what you eat on a weekday, rather than becoming dependent on others. The Shulchan Aruch rules that even one who is already dependent on tzedakah should minimize his weekday expenses in order to spend a little more on Shabbat. So in practice, the instruction of Aseh Shabbatcha Chol refers to a very limited group of people, those who do not take tzedakah from others, but would be forced to do so if they were to spend any extra on Shabbat relative to other days of the week. Halacha Chet. Mi shehaya anog v'ashir, v'harei kol yamav kishabbat, tzarich l'shanot ma'achal shabbat mima'achal hachol. V'im ei afshar l'shanot, mishane zman achila. Im haya ragil l'hakdim, ma'acher. V'im haya ragil l'acher, makdim. How does the rich person, who has food of very high quality all week, fulfill oneg Shabbat? Even he should get some food special for Shabbat which he does not eat during the week. And if this is impossible, he should eat on Shabbat at a different time than usual, earlier or later, to show that this meal is special because today is Shabbat. Halacha Tet. Chayav Adam lechol shalosh seudot b'Shabbat. Achat arvit ve'achat shacharit ve'achat bamincha. V'tzarich lizaher b'shalosh seudot elu shlo yifchot mehen klal. V'afilu ani hamiparnes min atztaka so'ed shalosh seudot. V'im haya chole merov ha'achila o shaya mitane patur mishalosh seudot. V'tzarich likbo akol seuda mishloshtan al hayayin v'livtzoa al shtei kikarot v'chein b'yamim tovim. Part of the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbat is to have three meals on Shabbat. It is worth noting that as common as it is in modern times to speak of three meals a day as a norm, this is a relatively recent phenomenon, and in large part a result of the Industrial Revolution of the 19th century. In most of the world, and for most of human history, people typically ate twice a day, one meal in the late morning or midday, and one in the evening. The Gemara learns from a pasuk in Parshat Beshalach that a special feature of Shabbat is the addition of a third meal. The Rambam specifies that the meal should take place at specific times, one at night, one in the morning, and one on Shabbat afternoon. Nonetheless, the Ramah adds that one who did not eat a meal at night for whatever reason should have three meals during the daytime of Shabbat. Even one who is poor and receives money from tzedakah should have three meals on Shabbat. The Torah writes for this reason, that those in charge of distributing tzedakah need to give each recipient more money to spend on Shabbat than is typically given for a weekday. Only one who is sick or otherwise physically unable to eat any more food is exempt from having a third meal. The Rambam continues to say that each of the three meals should be eaten together with wine and on two loaves of bread, what we call lecha mishnah. The Shulchan Aruch rules that seudah shlishit does not require wine. As for Lecha Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch rules that ideally one should have this first Seudah Shlishit as well, but the Rama believes that one full loaf is enough when a second isn't readily available. The Shulchan Aruch quotes several opinions which disagree with the Rambam regarding what one must eat at Seudah Shlishit. Ideally, rules the Shulchan Aruch, one should follow the Rambam and have bread. If he is too satiated for another bread meal, as often happens during the winter when Shabbat ends early, then he may eat mezonot foods. If even this is too much, then meat or fish suffice. And the most lenient opinion holds that even fruit can qualify as seudah shlishit. The Rambam concludes the halacha with a statement that one must have three meals on each day of Yom Tov as well. The Shulchan Aruch rules against the Rambam on this point, as his is a minority opinion. But the Magen Avraham writes that on Yom Tov, one should have either some type of food in the afternoon or an extra dish in the morning meal in lieu of Seudah Shlishit. In Halacha Yud, the Rambam writes that Oneg Shabbat should not come at the expense of learning Torah during the time that people would congregate in the Beit Midrash. The schedule for the tzaddikim for Shabbat day is as follows. Shacharit and Musaf in the Beit Knesset are followed by a meal at home, the second Seudah of Shabbat, then learning in the Beit Midrash until Mincha, and Mincha was followed by Seudah Shlishit, which would last until the end of Shabbat. Halach Yud Aleph points out that in order to practice Oneg Shabbat in the proper manner, those who prepare the food for the household must know in advance how many people they are preparing for, and therefore one should be careful not to keep his own family in the dark about where he plans to be on Shabbat. One also should not show up unannounced at someone else's home before Shabbat, as this may embarrass the hosts if they do not have enough food prepared for the guest to feed him in a respectable manner. Since Halacha Zayin, the discussion of Oneg Shabbat has centered on eating and drinking. In Halacha Yud Dalid, the Rambam adds that Tashmish Hamita, sexual relations between husband and wife, are a form of Oneg Shabbat as well. And therefore, Talmidei Chachamim, who would typically engage in marital relations once a week, would do so on the night of Shabbat as a fulfillment of Oneg Shabbat. Halacha Yud Bet. Asur li'itanot v'lizok u'litchanein u'lakesh rachamim b'shabbat. V'afilu b'tzara min atzarot sh'atzibur mit'anin u'matri'in alehen, ein mit'anin v'lo matri'in b'shabbat v'lo b'yamim tovim. Chutz me'ir shikifuha goyim o nahar. O sfina ha'mitarefet bayam, sh'matri'in alehen b'shabbat la'azorotan, u'mitchanin u'mivakshin alehen rachamim. We'll learn in Hilchot Ta'aniot about the mitzvah to call out to Hashem as a tzibur, to beseech him for mercy, and to fast in a time of communal distress. But on Shabbat and on Yom Tov, we do not engage in these activities, except in cases of great urgency, like if a city is surrounded by a hostile foreign army, or is being flooded by an overflowing river, or if a boat is in danger of drowning at sea. The Rambam lists only these cases where a group of people is in some trouble, but the Shulchan Aruch adds to these examples additional cases where an individual is in distress, like if he is being pursued by bandits or is very sick. Even in these cases, we don't fast on Shabbat or Yom Tov, but we sound an alarm by blowing trumpets, chatzotzrot, to call to those who can help, and we daven to ask Hashem to have mercy on the people suffering from these calamities. Halacha Yud Gimel. Ein tsarin al ayarot shel goyim pachot mishlosha yamim kodem haShabbat, kedei shetityashev dat anshei hamilchama aleihen, v'lo yu mevo'alim utrudim b'Shabbat. Umipnei ze ein mafligin basfina pachot mishlosha yamim kodem haShabbat, kedei shetityashev dato alav kodem haShabbat, v'lo yitzta'er yater midai, v'lidvar mitzvah maflig bayam afilu be'erev Shabbat. There are two activities which may not be done in the 3 days before Shabbat, that is, Wednesday through Friday. An individual may not embark on a sea voyage, and an army legion may not begin to lay siege to a city. The Torah clarifies that this refers only to a Milchemet Rishut, whose timing is much more flexible than that of a Milchemet Mitzvah. The reason in both cases is that these activities take time to adjust to, and a person involved in either one feels very unsettled and agitated for the first 3 days. Therefore, one may not begin them within 3 days of Shabbat in order to avoid detracting from his Oneg Shabbat. Other Rishonim understand entirely differently the Isser to embark on a sea voyage or initiate a war within 3 days of Shabbat. According to them, this Isser has nothing to do with Oneg Shabbat. Rather, these two activities are likely to lead to situations in which one must do malacha. The difference between 3 days before Shabbat and earlier than that is the question of whether one is required to take into account, when he embarks on some course of action now, whether it will require him to do malacha on Shabbat several days later. The Gemara's answer is that during the 3 days before Shabbat, he is obligated to take this into account, but before that time, he does not. Fundamentally, the idea is that the days from Wednesday onward belong to the coming Shabbat, and hence only during this time must one plan ahead for Shabbat and take precautions to avoid Chilul Shabbat in the future. The Rama accepts this understanding of the Isser in this halacha, and therefore he forbids embarking even on a river journey, not just a sea voyage, during the 3 days before Shabbat. River travel does not induce the same feelings of unsettledness and agitation as a sea voyage. So for the Rambam, it should be permitted to embark on a river journey even in the couple of days before Shabbat. But on the other hand, it will likely lead to Chilul Shabbat, either because some malacha will need to be done for purposes of pikuach nefesh, or because the river is shallow, and traveling 2,000 amot on it is a problem of leaving Tchum Shabbat. Refer to our shir on Perek Chaf Zayin for the difference between a shallow and a deep river regarding Tchum Shabbat. Hence, the Rama forbids it. For the purpose of a mitzvah, it is permitted to embark on a sea voyage even on Erev Shabbat. What qualifies as a mitzvah? The Shulchan Aruch takes a strict approach and limits this permission to a genuine mitzvah, including embarking on Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. But the Rama rules that even traveling for business reasons or in order to see a friend also counts as a mitzvah, and the prohibition to embark on a sea voyage within 3 days of Shabbat only applies to travel for pleasure. Based on this expansive understanding of the heter of the Dvar Mitzvah, the Ramah justifies the common practice in his day to be lenient about travel at sea, even when the trip began within 3 days before Shabbat. Halacha Tetvav. HaShabbat v'avodah zarah kol achat mishtehen shkula kineged sha'ar kol mitzvot ha-Torah. V'ashabbat hi ha'ot shebein HaKadosh Baruch Hu uveinenu le'olam. Lefichach kol ha'uver al sha'ar ha-mitzvot harei hu bichlal rishei Yisrael. Aval mechalal Shabbat b'farhesya harei hu ka'uved avodah zarah. U'shnehem kigoyim l'chol divrehem. The mitzvah to observe Shabbat and the prohibition against Avodah Zarah are each considered equivalent to all other mitzvot of the Torah, because Shabbat represents an eternal sign between Hashem and the Jewish people. One who willfully violates any Avera is considered a Rasha, but one who is Mechalel Shabbat in a public manner, Bifarhesia, is considered the equivalent of one who worships Avodah Zarah, and has the status of a non-Jew in certain areas of Halacha. We'll see an example of one such area just two prakim from now, in Hilchot Erevin Perek Bet. Another example, which we'll learn in Hilchot Shechita, is that the Shechita of the Oved Avodah Zarah and the Mechalel Shabbat Bifarhesia is ineffective to permit eating the animal, even if done properly, just as is the case for the Shechita of a Goy. But this is not a complete equation, and if one of these sinners is Mekadesh a woman in front of two witnesses, then the Kiddushin are valid, and the woman would require a get in order to remarry. Continuing in Halacha Tatvav, Levichach Meshabech HaNavi Omer, Ashrei Enosh Yaseh Zot Uven Adam Yachazik Ba, Shomer Shabbat Mechalo V'chulei, V'chol HaMeshamer Et HaShabbat Kilchata, U'mechabda U'ma'anga Kefi Kocho, Kvar Meforash B'Kabbalah, Scharo Ba'olam Hazeh, Yater Al HaSchar HaTzafun Olam Haba, Shnamar Az Titanag Al HaShem, V'Kavticha Al Bamotei Aretz, V'Achalticha Nachalat Yaakov Avicha, Kipi HaShem Diber. Because of the great importance of Shabbat as a covenant between Hashem and the Jewish people, the Navi Yeshayahu promises to one who observes Shabbat properly and who practices Kavod Shabbat and Oneg Shabbat to the best of his ability, a great reward in this world, in addition to the reward which awaits him in Olam Haba.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.